And we are live. Welcome to UCY.TV, everybody. Vince Easley filling in for Drew Lamb here on Off Grid Journey on UCY.TV. Chuck Ocelli's going to be joining me. He's in right now, dialed in, and we're doing what I'm going to call Operation Cooperation. And hopefully we're going to get Coop to weigh in from a little bit, maybe from the Fallacy Factory and all of this. So today, Chuck and I are going to take a little examination of the grid, or what makes the world turn, or what I like to call a switcheroo. Welcome, Chuck. How you doing, brother?
All right, Vince. How you doing today?
Doing good. So you and I, we spoke for quite a while here a few days ago, and we got a list, and this is a project I'm going to be working on with Chuck and help him produce some radio. Chuck, you're a big hero of mine. I want you to know that, and I appreciate all you do. And I think it's a little funny that a couple of people like to poke at you. So with that in mind, we're gonna put these dancing Israelis right out front, right off the bat, and we're gonna get them out of the way. And now you had a show on last night that was pretty controversial. Your guest, what's his name? DB, doggone it.
It was C.W. Wade.
Yeah. Thank you, C.W. Wade. Yeah. So on the Sandy Hook. So we'll probably talk about that too here after a while, but. It's kind of a litmus test now, these dancing Israelis. And who posted this earlier? This is so funny. They got these dancing Israelis. So I'm going to drop that back in chat. I think that was Dusty that posted that. Funny, funny, funny. And I don't know if that showed up because for some reason my flash is not letting me see videos posted again. Hey, Grimner's here. Right on. Grimner's going to join us in the last 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about World Truth and the work they're doing over there in conjunction with the radio network over there, Real Liberty Media. So this is going to be great. Chuck and I are going to run through this. I mean, we're just going to be kicking this ball back and forth. So anyways, this litmus test on the dancing Israelis, to me, of all I've heard, you know, it could a person could interpret in any number of ways, but with all the other evidence, it looks to me like, you know, there's complacency within the two-headed beast. This what runs the world, this corporatocracy, this machine, a mechanical beast, right? But anyways, I think that's the Khazar Jews of Zionist Israel, and that of the corporatocracy of the United States, and I think that's the one of the big powers. Of course, we see other powers in with Russia, but always, 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 everything that happens, all the conflicts are all designed. So,
well, you know, and here's the thing, Vince. When we look at things so often being staged, and so often people have, you know, advanced knowledge of events that are about to come up, this does point us in certain directions. This is true. And, of course, the whole dancing Israelis question, it's just that, okay, my position, because nobody ever bothers to ask my position about it is that all of the internationally recognized, intelligence groups, let's just call them, because the agencies themselves are merely part of what goes on when it comes to the intelligence community, are all intermingled. For instance, to me, Mossad is quite a bit intermingled with the CIA and et cetera, et cetera. The Mukhabarat, the Russian, different Russian incarnations of intelligence groups throughout the world. These have all been international cooperations, and they are all fronted by corporate interests. They're all fueled by corporate interests on top of the so-called black budgets that they get from the drug running and all this kind of stuff. And this is self-evident. Now, to say that the evil empire of the intelligence industrial complex was founded via the Mossad is silliness, because it pre-exists that. For those who think that, you know, the intelligence community is being out of control, begin with the CIA means that they don't understand their history. They don't understand that this stuff was going on long before that. You know, our OSS and the founding of the NSA, which have a lot to do with what has gone on. I mean, these are not the, you know, state-driven and state-endorsed organisms that they were meant to be to begin with. So it becomes really convoluted, and it's a whole other world. It's a whole other set of networking out there that is not easily divided or easily understood by pulling up one example. And this is why I say this is not a simple question to answer. You know what I mean?
You did a fantastic job. That I couldn't have. I tried. Want to put that any better? And if, now, well, I believe it was last week. I made a statement that there's no difference between the Nazis and the Zionists, the U.S., the Vatican, and on back to any number of powers. And that's exactly what you just said. Actually, you know, and when somebody said, "What do you mean the Jews and the Nazis?" Well, the problem, reaction, solution. Of course, out of World War II, we got a Zionist state in Israel. And who was that? I believe that was Shawley talking about that World War Z, or it might have been Hawk. Built in that movie, they had a big old wall around it, around Jerusalem, I think it was, or Israel, or whatever. But you know, we're building prison camps. You know, the United States here is one big prison camp. So people think they want to build a wall or a fence, you know, to keep people out. That's to keep us in. Don't be ridiculous, you know.
Well, right, and everybody likes to point to the pre-programming that's, you know, given out in Hollywood and all that. Well, you know, everybody forgets about those. Everybody points to the Matrix. Everybody loves to point to that, and they point to the, you know, the almost, you know, New Testament version of Star Wars and all that kind of stuff, and they look at that kind of programming. But, you know, let's not forget there was plenty of stuff out there like the Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. films. You remember those?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a big movie buff. I ain't ashamed to admit it. I like entertainment, you know. And if I'm
and,
not...
And you and I are both old enough to have seen, you know, The Escape from New York.
Snake Plissken, yeah.
Snake Plissken, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. And, of course, I saw that sucker the first time on a drive-in movie screen. Okay? So you want to talk about being overwhelmed by an image, but this part of the reality and this idea that there would be an acceptable time when the population would become so out of hand that it would require a great, you know, Big Brother type government to squash us in one way or another because it was so out of control. I mean, you know, you look at the comic books like Judge Dredd, which I've mentioned a lot of times on my shows recently. It's because, you know, look, in that universe, as it were, you know, the comic book universe, and of course we saw in the movies later, you know, the concept of street judges being law enforcement mechanisms unto themselves, summary executions, things like this, and this is why I pointed to that. Because it almost seems a whole lot more acceptable when these things have been passed into the psychological matrix of the masses, you know. And this is another thing that goes out. But back to the intelligence thing and how you bring up the Nazis, and of course, the Nazis are nothing but another construct, because who was funding them? Well, often history books tell you that, you know, that Fritz Thyssen was the main benefactor for the Nazi war machine, and that this is where all the money came from, but mathematically it doesn't make sense. So when we look back at it, of course, it's very popular now to point to something that that many of us have known for years, which is that, you know, the Bush family, via Prescott Bush and his involvements with the banks, were definitely funding that side of the equation at the time. And if you take a look at who was really winning, you know, when it comes to World War II and World War I, the German people lost both wars, you know, but the Nazis didn't necessarily lose. They were simply repositioned and repurposed and repackaged elsewhere. You know, you look at Reinhard Gehlen and his influence over the, you know, the actions and the mechanisms that became our CIA and all of that. I mean, these are the resonance of what was, but not even the full story. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do, and for sure. Hey, Grimner, add me on Skype, vince.easley. It'll say Clinton. I think it says Clinton or USA, Clinton, Arkansas. So... Chuck, you're doing a fantastic job. Now, let's move on along here a little bit. You have a lot of fantastic guests. You cover a lot of great topics, and sometimes some of our listeners get their panties in a wad. I'm not in chat. I'd like to see the look on y'all's faces right now. You know what I do want to do? I want to get you to summarize Mr.
And just for clarification to Bon Jovi, because I just love that name, by the way.
Me too.
Because I can't stand John Bon Jovi from the same home state I was, and actually in the same music scene I was at one point, and what a chump. Anyways, put that aside for a moment. Was I a Charles Bronson fan? Yeah, I kind of liked the Death Wish movies too, man. That was enjoyable stuff when I was a kid. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. If you have your panties in a wad, you can, through the Amazon link here on UCY.TV, you can buy the Untwisters there, and just do a search for that.
There you go.
Hey, you had a troll in here. I don't know where he's at, if he's still listening. He was going by the O-fect, the and then capital O-F, E-C-T. So that's the of et cetera, or it looks to me like the of effect.
Nice.
So you're famous, brother.
Well, you know, this is how you know you're doing something of interest when you get more and more trolls, and it's kind of funny. I don't mind the fact that it make people angry sometimes, because they think that you know, look, if all you want to do is tune into here to hear stuff that you agree with, I mean, that's wonderful. Go right ahead. You know, and then tune out when you don't. And look, you can be like everybody else. I mean, if all you want is for somebody to repeat to you what you already have in your own minds, then you know, by all means, brother, go do that. I'm not one of these kind of people. I would prefer that somebody presents to me the other side of an argument once in a while, so I can see what it is. Sometimes that means that it makes it even easier for me to destroy it. You know, when it comes down to logic. And here's the thing. Not everything in the world is, you know, is all, and this is going to sound crazy coming from me, right? Not everything in the world is a dark, deep-seated conspiracy. Sometimes there are just terrible things that do happen as well. You know, and not all of it has been engineered. A great deal of it has. Most things of significance have, and if they haven't been engineered, they've been seized upon by opportunists to cause resonant effects in the group psychology of the masses. This is something that goes on as a constant. But you know, but it doesn't mean that everything has been staged and engineered. I mean, there's been plenty of strange occurrences in my own life that I don't feel as though there was some great hand over top, you know, at least of this world, dictating what was happening, right? You know, and I'm sure you can agree with that, Vince.
Yeah, and you know what? Never let a good crisis go to waste, anyways.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rahm Emanuel said that, and boy, an interesting character that nobody ever likes to study, Rahm Emanuel, right?
Yeah, and you know, in life, you know, as an object lesson, that's actually pretty good for life, you know. You know, it'll make you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But listen, let me go over here. I hope that's Grimner adding me over here. I've got a Skype message coming in. Let me give you the mic, and can you sum up Mr. Wade's in 5 minutes or less Sandy Hook? You got a lot of slack on that last night, too. So sum up what he had to say, would you?
Well, look, here was the problem with people taking, you know, offense to me presenting that last night. You know, first of all, when I've looked at a lot of the Sandy Hook hoax stuff, and this is why I had him on, I wanted to have somebody else that sees a lot of the holes in what's being presented as the hoax. Now, I'm not saying that the mainstream media got it right. I mean, God help me if I said something like that. But, you know, they didn't. The reality is that this may not be a complete hoax, and wow, what an unpopular position that something might have actually happened as opposed to everything being a fake. So this was the main reason why I had him on there. Now, he, you know, his research, you can challenge it, and you can go through it, and you can take a look at it for yourselves, and this is why I put it out there. My gut about this from day one has been that that this was not an entirely fictitious situation, that it wasn't simply a drill. And that's my opinion based on the fact that it seems far too elaborate, and there's been too many people that that would have had to have been employed as crisis actors here to do some very minor jobs that that caused certain things to happen. You know, anybody who was up in the Northeast at that time, if you knew people that were in Connecticut, you could probably find somebody who was vaguely connected to the events. So there's a lot of resonant things that went on there. There's also been a lot of misrepresentation regarding the, you know, the fakery presentations out there. And I can't stand it when that happens either. I mean, look, and everybody knows I'm, you know, stuck on the whole JFK thing, fine. But, you know, I am just as happy to point out when somebody who is in favor of the idea of conspiracy regarding the JFK assassination, you know, when they're misrepresenting the evidence, I'm quicker to call them out than even the government themselves, because the fact is that if we are going to poorly defend positions like that and automatically assume that that things are part of the unreality, I mean, we are becoming the unreliable sources that they say we are if we don't examine this stuff a little further. You know, seeing some of the videos and understanding that they were saying they weren't looping things together when the video's clearly been looped together, misrepresenting the times of when things were filmed, you know, and the series of events in order to create a narrative that that makes more sense based on the story you want to present. These are things that have happened, you know, in the culture of those who want to point out that Sandy Hook, you know, may have been some sort of false flag event. So I merely wanted to present the other side of that.
Man, I was all like, after a while, and Uncle Jimmy showed up in the chat. I was all after a minute. I was like, I don't know what to believe. Just tell me what to think.
Well, see, but that's the thing. I don't want to ever tell anybody exactly what to think. I mean, all the time we're confronted by these things that sound very good. You know, that sound like they sort of make sense because, look, we already start with the assumption that we've been lied to by the media. We've been lied to by the government. You know, and this is a reasonable assumption. Okay, but here's the problem. If the people that are trying to tell us the alternate story are also lying to us, well, you know what that means? It's time to get up off your ass and go figure something out for yourself. You know, like I point out even with the JFK stuff. Today, okay, here's what happened to me today when I just turned on my computer like a fool, because I should never do that when I'm not willing to get involved in things, right? Immediately, I'm confronted by, once again, this whole idea of, you know, the executive order and the silver certificates, and the bankers had JFK killed because he was printing silver certificates, and these were constitutional money, and you got to understand that executive order, and I'm shaking my head. Okay, and why?
So, yeah. Let me, just so I don't run past like I did yesterday, I want to bring the 420 report. Now, it's 20 past the hour, and it is 420 somewhere. So listen, I don't sign petitions, and I'm then I'll come back to you. Sorry to interrupt, but
no problem.
And this is a shout out to Jenny on Facebook, and this is where I get hers. But like I said, I don't sign petitions, but here it is. I guess something kind of good is give clemency to Jeff Mazansky, who is serving life without parole for a minor marijuana conviction. Jeff has served 20 years already, and this comes from Vincent Jennings in Marionville, Missouri. As Mr. Roberts likes to say, he was just preceded, by the way, anybody listening, Vocal Local, the late Will Roberts, and he's still got a lot of good stuff to say. Anyway, so this old fella up there, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole for being present in a motel room when a friend was buying a brick of marijuana. Jeff's friend got 10 years. Jeff's life sentence... excuse me, Jeff got, it should be a life sentence, I think they're typo, it was a third marijuana offense anyways. After 20 years in prison, Jeff is rehabilitated and not a threat to society. He said, I'll not be present no more there. He is, he's seen murderers, rapists, and violent criminals walk out of prison while he rots in jail. Jeff is he's 60 years old and has health issues. Let Jeff die at home, surrounded by his family. So, wow, the fellow's going to die there? Really? He's got grandchildren. He's never had... they've been calling Governor Nixon for 5 weeks, and that number is 573. If you're an activist in this type of fashion and want to petition the slave master, call him at 573-751-3222 and ask for pardon and clemency. The staff, they're logging calls. We have been contacting Nixon's, they say, at governor.mo.gov contact, and we have set up a text alert by texting 420-420 with content Jeff. So, that's the 420 report from the Buzz Beaver. Back to you, Chuck.
Well, and I'll tell you that brings up another interesting thing that's happened with the radio show as of late. There are some authors who are more like academics who no longer want to discuss anything with me or even entertain the possibility of coming on air with me because of the fact that, believe it or not, I support the idea that marijuana should not be illegal. can you believe that one, Vince? anyway. I'll go on back to the thing I was doing this morning. So right away they present this whole thing, and very good point was made in chat, by the way, while we were going through that 420 report. That it does seem as though that there are people out there that must be funded in order to perpetuate the most outlandish of crazy theories regarding any of the political conspiracies that seem to resonate with the public. It is part of the controlled opposition, mechanism. The crazier that they can lump us all together into the madness pool, the easier it is to discredit when people do have legitimate gripes about the official story, when people do have legitimate theories to present and realities to unearth. So back to this regarding the JFK thing, I'm very, very sick and tired of this whole thing about the silver certificates, right? So a person who I'm not even going to name, who I happen to have some respect for, says, you know, that during this posting and in a response, well, they never did print those bills again after JFK was dead, and he's the only one who did it, and this was based on the executive order, and this is why he was killed. Well, you know, this means that you never bothered to check in the money supply to see these things that were still floating around. This means that you didn't check with the Bureau of Engraving to understand that these things were still being produced up to 1971. And it also means that you didn't bother to watch the video that I produced a few years ago showing people that these U.S. notes, exactly this mechanism, existed from the 1930s to the 1970s. Okay, this is not something that was exclusive to Kennedy, and it also means that he didn't bother to read the executive order, because the executive order literally turns over the power to control the percentage of silver certificates over to the, get ready, the Secretary of Treasury, who at the time was C. Douglas Dillon, okay, and that is actually what that executive order does. Why was this being done? Because there was now a conflict as to the amount of these things being printed versus the silver bullion which existed in Federal Reserve banks, allegedly. Okay, so there needed to be a difference in the amount issued because there was now a value problem with them. He turned it over to C. Douglas Dillon. It was an executive privilege up to that point, not only held by Kennedy, but something that the last time it was mentioned in executive orders was in the 50s. Meanwhile, all of this is a giant misnomer, and forget about my work, forget about my stupidity, what do I know? I'm not a historian. Well, you ever heard of a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island?
Well, oh, yeah. So what you're saying is this was just basically a ruse, a hijacking, kind of a fractional split in the powers that be, huh? Because we know Kennedy, first of all, his family is corrupt as corrupt can be. Oh, Joe, not Joe Friday, our good Joe Friday in chat, but Joe Kennedy, he was he was quite the gangster, and probably Muggsy and him probably shared a cocktail or two, reckon?
Well, you see, here's what the problem with that is, even, is that, you know, pushing Joe Kennedy into the bootlegger camp, I mean, I'm sure that he had dealings there, but you know where the real Kennedy fortune was made is long before we had any regulation on the stock market. The manipulation, the stuff that is now, you know, even now, despite all the deregulation, is still illegal to do all of that sort of fixing the game regarding, you know, stocks and bonds and things like this.
Right.
This is where he made his money.
Yeah, I was reading just the other day in some research. Yeah, he sold before the crash. It was so funny. They said, luckily he had the luck or foresight or whatever it was to sell before the crash. So that, like, the very few, they all did that. Muggsy or Bugsy, says Mixed Girl. And yes, fire in the hole. And hey, Sholly, good show this morning, brother. Love listening to you every Sunday morning. So. Yeah.
This Sholly Lama, man, love his shows. I didn't catch it today, but I'll tell you, I love Sholly. He cracks me up. Cracks me up, and always has a load of good information mixed in with that stuff. And love the shows where you pull out the guitar, brother.
That's right. And he's been a big influence on my developing radio personality that I've been trying to pull up out of myself. And almost 2 years now, radio, and I'm still developing. I don't think... I don't know. There's just so many great people I love to listen to and inspire to, and it is in my blood. Thanks, JJ, Mr. JJ Inc., for infecting me.
Yeah, I love JJ too, man.
Yeah. Jules, she is so awesome. Look at what she has put together for all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely, and can't ever forget that. You know, Jules has provided us with this great platform, and I'm extremely grateful that she puts up with me.
Yeah.
So, what is that clanging metal I'm hearing, Vince?
That's more of the 420 report.
Alrighty then.
the last scrape up here. We're pinch hitting. Well, we're playing baseball now. Going to the
nice
pitcher. And nice. Lined up. Hey, better swing.
Nice. But God, where was I? You know, that's one thing you're good for, Vince. You knock me right the hell off track every time.
You know, I've been doing radio for a while, and man, yeah, I really appreciate all your help, man, and I look forward to this project doing a little radio production with you. And let me just run through this list here. I'll hold this last bow for a minute. So, I wish Mr. Cooper would show up from the Fallacy Factory. That's something that we came up while we was talking. But we've got a long list here of, and if anybody has any suggestions, please add them and I'll write them down. But we've got stuff, you know, talk about Oklahoma City, the Jefferson Republic Militia. You was covering some Zen last night with Daniel Lewis Crumpton. I love that guy, man. He may be out there, according to some people's thoughts and beliefs, but nonetheless, he has an amazing, amazing mind, and he's a tireless activist, and I really appreciate him.
Absolutely. ZenInTheCar.com, great website, right. Really interesting stuff. And, of course, that was on Kim's show, which is called Jaded, which is meant to be a round table, but it hasn't got the real round yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was with Kim. Let me mute up. Take the mic, would you? I got a phone call.
Oh, see, there we go. And this is always the fun. Ever since the first time I got asked to help out with What Matters Worldwide, right? All of a sudden, Vince disappears, and hey, Chuck, you're on. Well, so look, going back to some of this other stuff that's gone on, you know, I do realize that maybe some people are not entirely thrilled with the presentations I make, but you know, look, I'm trying to present different angles of things. If all I'm going to do is repeat the same stuff you hear everywhere else, and I'm going to just bring up the same things, and I'm going to tie myself to all the same, you know, the same fallacies that seem to be floating around out there, you know, then why do I bother to do what I'm doing? You know, even if I present something that I don't entirely agree with, which I've done in the past, I put on people that I didn't necessarily agree with all the way around, but gave them a moment to speak about their particular you know, position, their particular beliefs regarding whatever it was that they were discussing. And I've had disagreements with guests on a big scale. I mean, John Barber, I really enjoyed having on a couple of times. I think he's been on three times now. You know, he's somebody who I agree with for the most part, but, you know, recently has hooked himself to the whole Judith Vary Baker thing, which, you know, which if you want to talk about a fairy tale regarding a whole lot of stuff at this point, you know, I'm sorry, but there's somebody who I do cast into the fiction pile of my book collection, as it were. You know, and there's a lot of this stuff out there. You know, there have been so many different stories regarding, you know, like even in the 9/11 world, different things where people have seized upon what they portray as proof, you know, regarding the events of 9/11, and what we actually find at the end of the day is that they've sort of fabricated a lot of stuff. They pushed out, you know, things based on their agendas, which were preset or whatever. And I do question sometimes when people go to the most extreme of the most unprovable, you know, least plausible kind of flights of fancy out there. And so, therefore, I have a need to speak up every once in a while.
You bet. You know? Everything that happens there is... always, you can predict for certain that there's going to be somebody jump onto it and right away and say it's a false flag or, you know, an inside job. And not everything is. Some things happen, but most of them are an inside job and a false flag, I think. We've got a couple of things that you had of special interest, and that was comedians. You'd like to get to some humor and also some music. And Sholly, you know Payday, and you was wanting to get something together with Payday, huh, Chuck? And also family law, DHS. That's another big topic that you was looking at that you'd like to put together.
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, comedians, first of all, just in a general sense, even in a mainstream sense, are often the commentators that start the ball rolling regarding alternative thought. You know, I mean, everybody likes to point to, you know, like, say, Bill Hicks or, you know, some of us who are a little older, maybe think about George Carlin, you know, people like this who have passed on and all that. But there are comedians constantly out there pointing out, you know, pointing out different odd things in society, different things that are acceptable, different things that are unacceptable, you know, people that refuse to be politically correct in their presentations. Some people come out with a lot of shock value. Like, I was a big fan of Sam Kinison, who very much, you know, although he had been a former preacher, had kind of taken on organized religion as you know, as part of his platform being a comedian. And I thought that that was definitely relevant and worthwhile, you know what I mean? You find a lot of comedians nowadays are into the concept of moving hemp forward, you know, as an alternative source of fuel, as something that should be legal, as something that has you know, a great many medical uses. And years ago, I mean, this kind of thing was relegated to very small organizations like Normal and stuff like that, which you know, could occasionally recruit some musicians and some entertainers, but never anybody with a big name. Nowadays, you see that it's becoming more part of the consciousness, and I think a lot of that started with comedians doing their thing, you know. So I think comedians would be an interesting sort of study of the way that new ideas get introduced into the cultural memes, as it were.
Yeah, and that's like Sholly. You know, he brings a little humor, and that inspiration that he gives me is to try to be bring a little humor too. And I like to say, if you can't laugh with me, you're sure welcome to laugh at me. I amuse myself. And
well, absolutely, man. You know what? And if we take ourselves too seriously trying to do this, you know, my head will explode, man. I'll just speak for myself. My head would explode if all I did was just focus on the very serious, you know, and stuck straight to, you know, the dark forces that seem to be at work out there and just only delved into the, you know, the extreme foolishness that goes on. If that's all I did and never stopped to take a moment to kind of decompress and, you know, and laugh at myself. And also, you know, I'm more than happy to laugh at myself too, Vince. So I'm with you there. Absolutely. And, you and I have had fun back and forth. I mean, I remember one night I was just sitting there trying to explain to people that I thought that you must be related to a Bigfoot, and I can't remember what my reason for that was, but I stand by it. So,
yeah, I'm the definitely the Bigfoot Daryl Dixon type.
That's it.
Yeah, I might way out here in the country in the Ozarks, and I love it. No Hawk's out here with me. He's lighted and lit out here. That is, and. He's kind of settled in. Of course, he's thinking about starting small on his space program and building an ultralight. So we'll see if he can put a project together. we've got a lot of topics that you and I are going to want to work on, including cancer and health, covering different conspiracy theories, and books and authors, alternative energy. We'll talk about some projects in eco-friendly type. Fukushima, Sandy Hook, which you covered last night, and some occult, of course, hemp, like you were talking about. Hemp and cannabis can save the world. He's also, either you or I, talked about some about Islam. I think we talked about the differences in religion, and you've covered a lot on that. But basically what we're talking about here, this machine, this mechanical beast, the grid, you know, the grid that keeps this world in constraints, I would call it. And off the at the gears, we're looking at all of the gears, okay? How the well, cog... What we can do is let the beast die by withdrawing. If we go in there, you know, this revolution, this idea of going and shotguns to the White House and pitchforks and all that stuff, and it'll never work. It never has. And anytime you get a bunch of people together out there in demonstrations, there's always going to be somebody in there that is going, you know, to create some problems and incite people or set fires. Hey, Mr. Hal Anthony has joined us from behind the woodshed. Yeah, space program starting with an altar light. Yeah, you got to start somewhere, don't you?
And I love Hal Anthony, by the way. I'm happy when I hear his stuff, actually, because it gets back to common sense, and you know, and taking it back to the basics. And this is something that that obviously, you know, look. The grid consists of a whole lot of things. There is the electronic grid, which we understand. There is the electrical grid, which we understand. There is the grid of political and psychological control, which is out there. We are understanding that this is all part of the greater overlapping prison system, right? And this is the thing. You know, withdrawing is not something that's going to be done, you know, in a revolutionary swoon that's going to create one giant wave that's going to crash. You know, the system that seems to hold us in place at this point was not built overnight. We will not be able to withdraw and remove our consent overnight. But incrementally, we can discover ways to stop feeding the beast, as you said. And I think this is what the point of it all is at the end of the day, is the more that we show people, you know, this is part of the system. This is part of the control. You know, this is part of the greater, you know, setup of slavery that has sort of been overlapped upon all of us. You know, the more that we do that, we expose it, first of all, and then we try and find solutions, which in a lot of cases, it's hard to get at those solutions because the complexity is you know, they're way ahead of us in the complexity they've constructed. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and as Joe Friday said, dogma snuggies. Moose Girl is, yeah, too many people aren't willing to fight or even walk away because they love the beast. She says like, but they say love. And there's a certain endearment that some people have to their abuser, I guess.
Well, and the thing is that it's accepted because it was part of the equation from the moment that you started to understand the outside world, right? You know, I found it extremely profound, and I know a lot of people don't like the Zeitgeist movies, but when they did that presentation about the Federal Reserve and basically explaining money to you in about 20 minutes, you know, it was like, wow, this all now makes sense. This is one of the most unquestioned and you know, like ingrained parts of human existence is the idea that there is this money system. And what's hysterical is, you know, I mean, in reality, the paper money system, which we all know so well at this point, really has only existed for, what, you know, less than 200 years? You know, and this is a drop in the bucket for, you know, in comparison to the amount of time that human beings have existed. You know, there was a different way of doing business. There was a different way of interacting with one another that was not fueled by this great beast. And to me, you know, completely withdrawing from the money system, this is the necessity. Now, do I have the solution for that? No. I'm looking for it, though, you know.
Yep. And I did drop back into dancing Israelis that I got earlier again back into the chat.
Nice.
Funny. That's hilarious. Okay. If you look at that. I'm gonna take that over to Real Liberty Media and drop that in there for them guys over there. Hey, and if you're not over there, do a double chat. Lots of fun, right? And we got here just pretty much here, oh, less than 10 minutes. Grimner's going to come on, and we're going to talk about World Truth, and we're going to talk now Real Liberty Media and World Truth are kind of hand in hand here, and it's so. And we have Hal Anthony behind the woodshed following here, and it's a great, I think, a great friendship we got going on here. Anyways, let's see where we're at now. We talked about bringing some folks in, some that's even been big guests here before, the Syrian girl and some other folks, and that comes from around the world category. Also, oh, let me tell you before I forget, here about, I think at 9 o'clock Central Time tonight it is, I gotta check, there's a radio-a-thon going on. Dane Wigington was just on, and I'm going to be joining in a pretty long list over there. It's going up on YouTube, so when I get a hold of the link for that, I'll bring it back and stuff.
And for the one listener who has constantly asked me to contact Dane Wigington, I have tried. I have tried, so there you go.
Are you and Russ Tanner on friends on Facebook?
I don't know if I think Russ is. I know Dane is, but he doesn't answer my messages, Vince. Okay. So he's a busy guy.
Yeah, you could talk to Doty probably, and she could probably relay him a message. Or Russ.
That would be great. I did a decent show though with Sylvan Henry not long ago.
Yeah, you did. Know, and he's the one topic. Sponsoring the radiothon right now. I'm sorry I did not mention that. And
yeah, he's the mass action demand guy, and he does this every once in a while where he does these 24-hour broadcasts. You know, and he runs a lot of interesting guests through there. I was asked to join. I couldn't last time, so I don't know what's going on with this one. But it was like a few months back he had asked me to join in on one of these, and they're always really interesting. So
yeah, he had that Michael, what's his name, that did the films? Murphy? Michael Murphy?
Yeah, I believe so. And he's had a bunch of filmmakers on there. Different filmmakers, broadcasters, activists, you name it. It's a conglomeration of stuff over that 24-hour period. And Sylvan Henry's a guy you should check out. And also, if you're on Facebook, go to Mass Action Demand. There's a whole group for discussion over there as well.
Get mad.
What's that?
Said get mad. Mass Action Demand.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. You know, and of course, I always take, and I take suggestions too. I mean, if people have something that they think, you know, isn't being heard somewhere else, I'm definitely all for trying to get out, things that are relevant that are not being carried by others. So, you know, I'm always happy to do that, and I'm always trying to find something different, because every time you turn on my show, you're never sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, you have a group for that, for the Ocelli Effect radio on Facebook for people to give suggestions, and that's the project you and I are working on together. Now, you do a lot of radio, Chuck. In my respect, there's not a lot of people that can talk consistently and have something to say, you know, especially as many times as you do it a week. You're here three times a week on UCY. Are you still doing the Blog Talk Radio as well as the Liberty Beacon Project on the Town Crier?
Well, the Blog Talk thing I stopped, but the Town Crier I'm still doing, and I pop in when people ask me on their shows, just like today. So,
yeah, I roped you in on this one, didn't I?
That's all right. I'm. You know what, Vince? We've been on my show together. We've been on your What Matters Worldwide show together. We've done a bunch of things together, you and me, and it's always fun, man. It's always fun. So, and we always try and get out some good information along with having a good time and making some jokes and making fun of ourselves, which is all about having a good time as far as I'm concerned. So, anytime, Vince, you know that.
You bet. Now, you've carried me by cell phone from the deserts of Arizona and out along the Virgin River from the Bundy Ranch in Nevada up there. So, yeah, you've been a great help. We had Jay Jones on in Quartzsite, Arizona. I just handed her the mic, and that was pretty great. She's a super person.
She has that newspaper out there, and that was a lady. We went through that whole description about what went down with her getting shut down at the town council meetings and everything. I mean, you know, so not always is it a global event. Sometimes we look at the local action that's happening in different parts of the world too, right? I mean, this is part of what we're trying to do is show you the whole picture bit by bit.
Yep. You about ready, Grimner? We got a couple minutes here for him to tighten up, and we'll bring him in. Chuck, it's been great having you on, as always. Great work. And so now we're going to dance with the Israeli dance, and everybody put your hands in the air.
Like somebody give me a chair already.
Already, yeah. Hey, so this Ofect fella here, your friendly troll, I guess he didn't have much to say today, but he thought your name might have spelled Berg on the end of that Ocelli.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ocelli Berg?
Yeah, sure. That's part of the new jokes, too. look, man, you know, the Zionists are evil, the Catholic Church is evil, your government is evil, there is evil all around, my friends, and it is not relegated to one part of the map. So, that's just my opinion. Anyway, we got other things to go over here, right, Vince?
That's right. So, Chuck, really, really appreciate it. I think I've got Grimner on, and we're going to talk about world truth and some real liberty. All right.
Cool.
Thanks again, Chuck.
Thank you, Vince.
Big love, brother. Hey, Grimner.
Hey, Vince. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Good to talk to you. It's the first time you and I have spoke voice-to-voice, that is.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Now, look, I had an account over at World Truth sometime back, Vince and Easley, and I lost being able to get in there, so I created a new one here just a couple odd months ago, and really tying a lot together. Of course, I've been listening to Hal Anthony here on UCY for a long time, and so I've been real proud to be able to share his work and get involved in what you all are doing. So let's start out. Tell me about World Truth, how it started, and what we're doing over there.
Well, World Truth started a couple of years ago. Anthony, the guy that originally started it up and was the founder of it, he's since moved along, and now Grammy Mary, I imagine you're familiar with her, is now the owner of worldtruth.org. And so basically it's Facebook for the open-minded, for the free mind, the free thinkers. you could post whatever you want on there. It's not going to get censored. It's not going to get edited. Certainly some people may gripe you out about certain posts that you put up there or whatever, but that's free speech. So, and that's allowed there. You can do that. They're not going to, if you put up things about chemtrails or 9/11 or Bigfoot, notice you were talking about that earlier. So nobody's going to come on there and say, you can't have this or the site itself is not going to censor your information off of there. It's a great site. It's like Facebook, but it's not at all like Facebook.
And it's a lot of fun, man. I've been having a lot of fun over here busting bulbs. That was great. They had snow and stuff for Christmas, and Santa Claus was the mouse over cursor there. Lots of fun.
I don't really mess with any of that stuff. I go on there and make comments every now and then, but mostly I'm there to run the radio.
Now, Grant, who was the owner you said it went to? I know I must be slap me in the mouth. World Truth friends with her.
Grammy Mary.
Yeah, we are friends. I did not know that. So I'm having a lot of fun exploring and getting to know the site. Now, y'all have connected Real Liberty Media together with World Truth, I think, haven't you? We got a player there and all that.
Oh yeah. When World Truth first started up, Anthony, like I said, the guy that started it up said, "Hey, you want a radio stream? You want to share our radio stream? You want to use that on your site?" And I go, "Hell yeah! I'd love to use your radio stream." And because I was using various other sources that are out there, but this one is pretty much unlimited. It's just a shoutcast stream.
And you've got on Real Liberty Media, you've got all those channels over there, and we've got UCY over there, which is real cool. A lot of listening options over there.
Yeah, I made that switcher way back. Real Liberty Media has been around for like 6 years now, and World Truth has only been around maybe 2 years. So,
Hey, check this out. Can y'all hear that? Oh, you probably can't because I don't have the speakers plugged in. Let me just do this just for fun. Hold on just a minute. I don't think it's very loud. I don't know if you can hear these. Okay, I'm done having fun.
No, I don't know what that is.
I was busting bulbs.
There. Oh.
Over on World Truth.
All right. Well, you know, whatever works for you.
So
I used to do a radio show, a daily news radio show on Real Liberty Media, Monday through Friday. For like 4 years, I did that show, that radio show. And then I quit last June because I was like, I've had enough of it. But it was good. It was a fun show. And it was called the RLM News Show. It was every day at 11 p.m. my time. But that was always a good show to do. And had fun there with that. All the archives are still up there on the website. There's all kinds of stuff on the website, by the way, in case you're ever interested in browsing through the website to see what's up there, all kinds of freedom and liberty information. So RLM, Real Liberty Media, started, like I said, about 6 years ago. We were, it might have been longer than that now. What year is this? 2014. Yeah, it was back in 2008 when we were, it was a bunch of Ron Paul fans. You remember Ron Paul?
Yeah, boy, that was a lot of disappointment for a lot of people, wasn't it?
Well, it turned out to be in the end, but it started off. We got a lot of this group that you see here in the Real Liberty Media chat, and a lot of the people that brought along a lot of the streaming and the radio and the alternative media, whatever you want to call it, came about because of Ron Paul.
That's true. And no matter what people have to say about Alex Jones, he's been responsible for a great deal of
people
at least taking another look at the paradigm that we live in.
No doubt about it. You know, when I first saw that movie Endgame, I was like, wow, this guy kind of knows his stuff going on out there.
Yeah, and you know what, person can't help but get angry, you know, sometimes. Right.
Of course you're going to get angry. I mean, you look at what's going on around the world and who's running the show and the lies that you're told. Everything's pretty much a lie at this point that comes out of, you know, any governmental organization. Of course you're going to get angry. What else are you going to do? It's upsetting to see the shape of the world, the direction of the world, and it's all because this government crap.
You know, I'll use this analogy, that onion. You know, you keep peeling it off and you're thinking you're going to get to somewhere, or maybe an artichoke, you know, and And there ain't much left by the time you tear all that stuff off, and it's just all the same. It's pieces of it, and this whole way it all works. And when you, it does make tears come to your eyes, you know, when you realize it, it's all a lie, because each one you peel off, each layer is a lie. This one's a lie. It's every bit of the corporatocracy is a lie. And it's just like, how could it be? No way, right? It couldn't be this way.
Right. It all goes back to, and some people will disagree with me on this, but it all goes back to, or up to, depending on how you want to look at it, the Rothschilds. Now, I know I have a thick tinfoil hat that I wear, you know, on a regular basis. And so when I look at things, I follow as much as I can to see where it all came from, how it all got there. And it always goes back to the Rothschilds. They're the leaders of the global banking cartel, and the global banking cartels in charge of everything, whether it be the corporations or the governments or the whatever entities there are, like all the charitable organizations that are not charitable organizations. Anyway, that's just my worldview on things, but we're talking about World Truth and Real Liberty Media. Not going down that path, right?
Yeah, by the way, you can get your tinfoil hats and help support UCY.TV by shopping through our Amazon link or by donating through PayPal to contact.ucytv@gmail.com. Thank you. And don't forget Real Liberty Media and World Truth.
Yeah, join up. Go get on worldtruth.org and join up over there. And you'll be glad you did. And for Real Liberty Media, there's no joining. Just go over there and browse around. All kinds of great information over there.
Awesome. Yes, for certain.
Look at Hal posts his weekly blogs up there, and other people post blogs over there. And
yeah, Hell's coming up next. Simulcasting right here on UCY.TV. Everybody keep listening. We're going to run out here in a minute. Grimner, I really appreciate you coming on. I love the work that you guys are doing, and so I'm kind of fumbling my way around over there and learning my way about, that is, and really enjoying it.
Well, great. It's always, you know, good to have more people. If you want to do a direct stream on RLM and World Truth, let me know, and I'll set you up for that.
Oh, that's cool. We'll have to holler at Jules, because you guys have some downtime. I'm not over there trolling for listeners, so this is not a live broadcast going out over on Real Liberty Media at this same time, right? There it is. We're out. All right, love and peace, y'all. Thanks for listening.